I'm joined this evening by Adam Bolger, who has been digging into a string of unexplained overnight deaths that took place in the 1970s and 80s, said to inspire the late Wes Craven to create the iconic Freddy Krueger character of the Nightmare on Elm Street series. We're talking about sleep paralysis. We're talking about these strange creatures, nightmare hags, the things that come for you in your sleep. And we're going to take your phone calls. Have you had these experiences yourself? Do you chalk them up to nothing but physical issues, or do you believe that it's the metaphysical, the supernatural visiting you? And what are your experiences? We want to hear from you. So please give us a call. Be a part of the show. We'll take a quick break and go right into phone calls with you next here on Coast to Coast AM. Have you been visited by the old hag? Do you suffer from sleep paralysis? And have you witnessed strange and supernatural beings when you have those moments? We want to know about that. Adam Bolger, our guest this evening. Out of the cases that you've researched, Adam, and all of the work that you do, how much of these experiences do you believe are truly of the supernatural ilk?
I mean, it's difficult to say. Are you trying to make a distinction between which ones are purely physical and which ones are supernatural?
Yeah, I'm just curious, with your research, what did you find? Did you find that most of the stories you believe really do have a root in the supernatural?
Well, with so many people reporting some kind of creature, that can't be a coincidence. Maybe it's, astral projection, as you suggested earlier. Maybe these creatures really are visiting them. Maybe it's just, it is a uniform, kind of creature that exists in our collective subconscious, and that we're just describing it differently, depending on our cultural background.
Have you found in any of the work and research that's been out there, are some people more predisposed to it? If you had night terrors as a child, are you more likely to have these encounters as an adult in these sleep paralysis moments, or have you not really seen any solid corroboration of that?
Well, it seems that there's a genetic preponderance for the ones that would be fatal, for sure. It strikes like the first cases were all centered around the Hmong, who were from China originally, and from Laos and Vietnam. And then the cases were reported with Thai workers that were living in Singapore. And the commonality, one big commonality, is stressful conditions. If you're feeling a little bit like out of your element, or very, not a little bit, but quite a bit out of your element, and if you're, in a completely stressful environment, it seems that's when you're really vulnerable to it.
Okay, let's start taking some of the phone calls to hear your experiences, your thoughts, your questions for our guest on this topic. East of the Rockies, somewhere out there trucking in Ohio. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Susan. What's your question?
Well, I don't really have a question. This was something that happened to me when I was around in about seventh grade, which would have been right around early 1980s, and I went to sleep, slept fine, but in my dream, I was fighting with almost like a shadow person, okay? When I woke up, my side was hurting, and I remember this thing hitting me in my side, and my side was just killing me all day long. And probably within about 2-3 hours after waking up, my sides began to bruise. And I kept telling my mom and dad, look, my side really hurts. It's hard for me to breathe. I don't know what's going on. They took me to the hospital. I had a broken rib.
Wow. What did the shadow person look like?
It almost looked like, almost like this little ninja-like guy.
Did he have weapons?
No, he didn't have a weapon.
Yeah.
It's like we were almost like kung fu fighting together.
Right. And was that your only...
I remember this thing
punching
me in my side really hard.
Wow.
And when I woke up, I mean, I remember my side hurting, and I was like, oh, man, and I got up and was eating, and I just, God, my side hurts. I told my dad, and he's like, well, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know. I just woke up this way. And you know it started to bruise a couple hours later, and he's like, well, maybe we ought to go get checked out. And sure enough, my rib was broken, and he's like, can you explain that? And I said, no.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. I just talked about this on our radio show, Darkness Radio, just a few days ago. I had a very similar experience in a dream form, if you will, tying into the Freddy Krueger aspect of this and the strange deals. And in a lot of my dreams, I'm able to fly in these lucid dreams. And I've been told by many that that means you're astral projecting. If you are flying, supposedly you have left your body. You're in an astral form on an astral plane. And I saw this being that I believed was somebody I knew, or at least it was taking on that visage to get my attention. And I was in a very small room with him, and he produced a knife, and it kept flickering between him and this cloaked figure. And it kept swiping at me with this knife as I would jump over it and fly over it. But each leap was bringing me closer to him. I couldn't keep the height on these flight moments. It was just very surreal. This dream is vivid to me 30 years later here. Wow. And I remember it. And the kicker was, as I swept over him the last time, he dug that knife up into my stomach. I woke up with searing pain, and I still have it. I have about a 1.5-inch scar on my stomach, and I was bleeding. Yeah. I looked all over my bed trying to find something I might have rolled on, my belt buckle, my loop, anything like that. Nothing in my bed or around me that would have caused a cut into my skin deep enough to create a scar.
Wow.
But it woke me up, and you know, with a start and with physical evidence that something had just occurred. So, right. Susan, you're one of the first people I've spoken to that's had that same kind of situation where you woke up from it and had the physical abuse. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, be thankful for that at least. Yeah. And thank you for calling, Susan. Do you find that are there cases like this where people are bringing back damage from the dream realm from this deal?
Well, you know Freddy Krueger's glove with a knife.
Right.
That's no coincidence. A lot of these dream creatures, they're described as having something sharp, something that will cut into you, something that will be like either teeth or will be a knife or something, just a protruding weapon-like part of their body or an actual weapon. People do wake up physically damaged. And if not, they'll wake up frightened. There have been cases where people have reported bruises, or they've reported, like, what you guys are describing sounds like extreme cases. But there have been bruises and smaller abrasions that I've come across, for sure.
All right, let's grab first-time caller Kim in New Hampshire. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, Dave. Hey, Adam.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, welcome to the show. What's going on, Kim?
I was so surprised to hear talking about this. I thought I was the only one that had these strange dreams where I couldn't move and there was something over me, like suffocating me. And
really?
It's happened to me over my entire lifetime.
Yeah.
And it always seems like it's the same thing, but it comes in different forms. Sometimes it'll have a whole bunch of eyes. Other time it'll have, like you described, a stuffed animal with teeth.
Yeah.
And another time, like the girl said, was kind of like a cape or a cloak where you can't see its face.
Right.
And they all try to suffocate me, and I even like feel like I'm trying to wake myself up and screaming either for my husband or whoever, my mother, whatever it was. And I don't know how I wake up, but lately, because I went back to being, I heard one of you say that you were Catholic, and I'm Catholic now again, and
yeah.
I scream, I go, Jesus, Jesus, and then I get this idea, well, go ahead and kill me, I'm just going to go straight to heaven, and then it stops, Usually I can stop it with, calling out to Jesus, or some kind of prayer. Sometimes I call it to Mary, and then I wake up and I make my husband pray over me, and I am deathly afraid to go back to sleep after that,
Are you able to talk in a dream? Are you able to... use your voice to call out to Jesus.
Yeah. it feels like sometimes I'm screaming. So a couple of times, actually, I couldn't say anything.
Right.
You know, felt like I wanted to say something, but I just couldn't.
That's very common with these kind
of... It feels like I'm drowning.
Yeah, like you're drowning or there's a great weight. Does it feel like there's a weight on you?
Oh, yeah, pressure.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm... Like, sometimes I fall asleep in a recliner, and I feel like the thing's pushing me down into it.
Yeah.
Can't get out. Or if I'm in the bed, it just lays on top of me, so everything feels really heavy. It actually hurts.
And you mentioned your husband. Do you guys share a bed?
Yeah.
And so has he told you what it looks like to him when you're going through these experiences?
No, because he's sleeping next to me, so I usually wake him up because when I wake up, I'm either crying or I'm still
asleep,
you know?
So he's never noticed, because sometimes people will, despite the feeling that they can't move, they will, toss and turn just enough to alert somebody, and people will see. And so I'm always curious to hear about, people have witnessed these kind of experiences.
You know, I never really thought to ask him either if he noticed anything like that. Sometimes I am sleeping in the chair, and, during the day, I take a nap or something, he's awake, But
yeah.
I'll ask him next time. I never thought of that, but it's so scary.
Yeah.
When you're going through it, because you just don't, you do feel like something's after you,
Yeah.
It's just, all right. I thought it was the only one, but I am real surprised to hear that all over the world they call it different things, and
Right. Well, thank you for calling in, Kim. Are there many of these cases, and I'm getting a lot of emails about this, where there is a sexual element to these attacks? I mean, we've heard of the succubus and the incubus, but do you find that there are a lot of these cases where that is definitely an important detail?
You know what? No. That's really intriguing. But that has not been anything I've come across as of yet. I would love to hear from somebody who'd had a sexual nature to this experience. That sounds fascinating and even more bizarre and terrifying.
Carl emails in and says, good evening or morning, Dave. Your show has jogged a memory. When I was younger, I had a few of those experiences. In general, it was like a giant hand was pressing me down into my mattress, refusing to let me up or to let me catch my breath. Also, there was a bit of an erotic aspect to it.
Huh.
Yet in the end, it ended up feeling like a rape to this person.
Yeah.
Whatever those events or entities are, there was never a benevolent factor involved. It would it could have been a scary reaction or random astral projection. He's just not sure. But that was kind of his topic. And we've heard stories. Actually, Archbishop James Long was doing an investigation of this incubus succubus attack that was happening to this older client. And, they didn't know if it was just something she was hallucinating. Was she, imagining it and in that hypnagogic, hypnopompic state going in and out of sleep, or she believed she was being violated. And they had set up a camera in her room. And during the investigation, you see, much like the movie Paranormal Activity, you see the sheet lift up and something roll underneath the sheet up against her.
Huh.
And then she begins whimpering and crying.
Oh,
and, right, I mean, absolutely terrifying. And I've seen the clip, and I don't know how to explain away what we're witnessing, what it is that we're seeing. But it was one of the most frightening pieces of video I've ever seen.
Well, one related detail I have noticed, it doesn't really speak so much to sexuality, but it does speak to gender. Often the sleep creatures are female for one reason or another.
Right, the old hag, right? Isn't that where, I think that's probably where it comes from.
Yeah,
is
absolutely.
It because a lot of, do you know what the old hag referred to it? Is that something to do with witchcraft? Was she sent to steal their life essence or something? Or... what is your understanding of why it appears to be these older, creepy-looking women?
With specifically with the night hag, I'm not sure. I don't know. I think that there's... Because the victims are so often men, although, we just spoke with a female victim. I think that maybe it's just that's what you associate... That's what you associate nighttime and sleep with. You associate that with persons of another gender very often, assuming that you're, that you're heterosexual. Like you'll think of women at night, and that's what will come, and that's what the form that it will take.
Right. All right, let's grab another call here. We've got Wildcard Line 1 Douglas in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Yeah, so and what's the guest name? I kind of came in the middle of the show.
Adam is our guest, and we're talking about sleep paralysis. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. I've got a few good stories about sleep paralysis because they were all bad up until a point. Then Adam said there was one where a lady saw Jesus, came to Jesus, and I have a couple good ones I just want to share. And I have a question after that.
Sure.
Something I've never asked anyone in my life. It's not a bad thing. It's just interesting. But the first sleep paralysis I had, I fell asleep on the Lazy Boy, and I fell asleep with the TV on. And I woke up, and Stairway to Heaven was on.
The Led Zeppelin song?
No, I can't. No, I'm sorry. But the room was like all filled with like a heavenly light and heavenly glow. And if it was Victor French, wasn't it the actor's name? Just he was very angelic and everything. And it was a very good experience.
Yeah.
And my second one, I lived in Japan for most of my adult life, 21 years. And I was camping by myself in a forest, and I was just falling asleep, and I thought I heard, you know, way on the other side of the woods, my friend saying something in Japanese. I won't say what it was because nobody would understand it. But I called her the next day, and she said she wasn't in the forest. I said, was your roommate at the forest? She said, no, they weren't there. So anyway, it was just a silly, it was a funny thing, something that was funny between my friend and I. But anyway, and I wanted to call back, you know, but like I said, I was, you know, paralyzed and I couldn't verbalize anything. But anyway, it was funny. But
well, thank you for calling in, Douglas. Yeah, it's a lot of different experiences here. Another one from email real quickly. Dale writes in and says, I had an experience with the old hag syndrome. The being had a very sinister face, dressed in what I would call medieval clothing, with pointed curled up toes on slipper-like shoes.
Ooh.
It was about knee-high as I saw him run away. I was paralyzed, couldn't breathe while it was on top of my chest, and that happened in Fulton, Missouri, back in the 1970s.
Okay, wow. Hey, Dave, I just wanted to get back to your question about sex with these creatures. And I was looking over my notes, and I was able to find something that that pertained. I'm not going to get the pronunciation right, but there's a sleep creature from Hungary called the Liderc, L-I-D-E-R-C, and it's a gender-shifting bloodsucker, and it grows from an egg, and when it becomes an adult, it acts just like the hag. But it's associated just as much with sex and lust as it is with fear. It sucks blood and energy from its victims. But also, it doesn't just want to harm its victims. Sometimes it also wants to sort of marry their victims. It becomes enamored with them, and they'll try to enrich their victims with hoarded gold. And like the djinn that I talked about before, they can be tricked. You can be clever and get them to go away. Like, you can tell them to do something impossible, you know, like run around the sun a million times, and they have to do it because they are so committed to you.
Very strange. We'll continue on this journey this evening. We'll continue with your calls. If you've had your own sleep paralysis experience, you've seen supernatural beings in your room, on your chest, in your room with you, we want to know about those. Give us a call. I'm Dave Schrader, and you're listening to the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM. My guest this evening, Adam Bulger, we're talking about unexplained sleep deaths, a very strange string of them that took place during the 70s and 80s and was said to inspire Wes Craven and his creation of the famed icon Freddy Krueger. Got another email here. Says, Dave, I'm listening, and I had one of these experiences in college. I was asleep, woke up, but I couldn't move. I was able to open my eyes. I couldn't breathe, and I looked at the foot of my bed. And I saw a figure. It was dark, and I could see the outline, definitely a cloaked female. She was holding my ankles, and I could hear her trying to pull my soul out of me. I did what I could to fight, and I mean just mentally, because I couldn't move physically. I think this lasted for about a minute, and then she or it was just gone. I was out of breath and totally freaked out. The only other person I ever told the story to was my mom, and I'm not sure my mom even believed me. So yeah, this is real. Lucid dreaming techniques can definitely help. The time frame of this was around the early 1980s, and that's from, and he said he was in Southeast Texas at the time. That's from John in San Jose, California, sharing the story. Quick question for you before we have to take our final break. Chris writes in and says, do these creatures ever seem to speak to the people? Do they speak to them in their native language, or are they, you know, just maybe more telepathically communicating?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of documented communication between the sleep creatures and the dreamers, and it varies. In the documentary, The Nightmare, one interview subject talks about actually getting a cell phone call right after they fall asleep, and they answer the phone, and it's at first the voice is very polite, and, you know, asking to come in, asking them, you know, to let them into the house, and then the dreamer keeps refusing and saying, you're a stranger, you can't get in, and then, you know, says, who is this? And there's this very frightening voice that starts yelling that is coming to kill him, that the voice is outside and is going to kill him in his sleep. So there's definitely communication, and people can understand it. But I think it's mostly in people's native languages.
All right, let's take our final break. We'll continue taking your calls if you've had experiences and have any of these creatures ever spoken to you. We'll discuss that next on Coast to Coast AM. Adam Bolger, my guest. We're taking your phone calls as we talk about night terrors, talking about sleep paralysis, the old hag, these creatures that seem to come to steal away our life essence. If you've had this experience, we want to hear from you. Let's go back to the phone lines west of the Rockies. Dave in Alaska, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks a lot for calling in. What did you want to share with us?
Hi, Dave. Yeah, I just have a comment for your guest.
Okay, sure. Fire away.
Yeah, the Freddy Krueger. The first part of his show in the 80s, he was subdued when he was splashed with holy water and crucifixes and all that other stuff in the 80s. Remember that?
Right. Which film was that? Or is that type of the TV show?
I think that was like the Freddy Krueger part one or whatever.
No, I believe that was the second part when they went to the old junkyard and had to dig him up and right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, they had to put the body to rest. They had, because he had been burned, and then the parents hit him in like a junkyard. So the idea was to put him into hallowed ground. So they had to dig him up and sprinkle him with holy water and do that. And that's my nerd card for the night. But yeah, what about that, Dave?
Right, that's great. My thought is, I have worked with people and dealt with people and everything, but all those that haunt the night, all those things that we deal with that haunt the night, that, you know, through Catholicism, through prayer of St. Michael and holy water, that just deal with that era. Anyway, I don't know what more to say with this, but...
Yeah. Well, I will say to you, Dave, that...
yeah, thank you for calling in, Dave.
Yeah, I will say that people have found that's been effective. It's been... you know, a strong spiritual belief has been an effective deterrent in a lot of reported cases, including our caller from earlier. So if you're experiencing sleep paralysis, I don't know, maybe, you know, turn to a religious advisor or crack open the Bible or the Quran or Book of Mormon or whatever, you know, you feel comfortable with.
Let's go wild card line three. Terry in Salt Lake City, Utah, you're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hey, good evening, Dave and Adam. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. I have a quick comment, and then I'll tell my quick little story.
Okay.
I was a very large skeptic and an atheist, and I had a lot of things happen in my life, but I started to do a meditation. I started to notice that my where my third eye would be had a vibration to it, and I started meditating and to increase that. And as I did, all of a sudden I started to become bombarded with paranormal experiences so much that it converted my entire belief structure.
So
anyhow, just to help out a listener if they wanted to change. But my quick story is one time I was laying in bed and I woke up and I couldn't move. And I looked across the bed at the wall, and all of a sudden I started hearing a scratching on the floor. And down, and then it moved over to the underneath the foot of my bed, and it was a female, and she raised up, like brought her head up so that I could see. And it sounds kind of cheesy, but her hair was down in her face. And whenever I see the ring, it kind of gives me the chills, the movie, The Ring.
Right.
And she looked kind of like that. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like a wild or crazy animal, she scrambled across my body, and my bed it would slide away from the wall. And wow. She grabs my arm and starts pulling me down in between the wall and the bed. And this whole time, I'm sleeping next to my girlfriend at the time. And I'm trying to, like, move or wake her up or something, and I couldn't. And then finally, I was able to move, and I was about halfway in and halfway out of the bed, and I just pulled myself out of the hole and woke up my girlfriend and was terrified and left the room. And anyhow, I wound up seeing another, I think I saw her again one time. I was standing in, or I was sitting down in a chair, and as I stood up, I stood up with my eyes closed, and as I opened them, she was standing like 6 inches from in front of my face, like looking me right in the eyes. And I blinked and kind of jumped back,
yeah,
as you do in a reaction. And when I reopened my eyes, she was gone.
Oh, man. Now, you said with the first experience, you said that you climbed out of a hole. I mean, did you feel like you were in some sort of depth?
No. Well, like where my bed would pull away from the wall, it was on wheels.
Oh,
and so there was like a gap in between the bed and the wall, and she was pulling me down in between into that gap, down below under my bed. It was terrifying.
How did you feel when you woke up? Do you remember?
Horrified. It was even talking about it, and like I haven't really told it in this much detail for a while. Even just talking about it gave me the chills, really.
Yeah, and you still remember it very vividly now.
Exceptionally vividly. I mean, it was, like it happened 3 days ago, you know?
Wow.
So anyway, thank you, and I'll let you get back on with the show.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Wildcard line four, Ralph in Louisiana. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hey, Dave and Adam, thank you very much for taking my call.
Certainly.
Yeah, 3 months ago, June 11th, never experienced this before and didn't know what it was, but I didn't even think I was asleep, actually. I see a shadow at my window in my bedroom.
Uh-huh.
No way this thing could get in through that window. It's not a window that a body could fit through, but it did. And what it turned out to be was I'd never heard of this before, was a big-hatted guy, big hat on, in a large trench coat, and it came to the foot of my bed. I was partially paralyzed because I was able to kick, kind of, but the rest of my body, no. It seemed like it was 10 minutes, but I'm sure it was way less than that. And I was the only thing I could do really well was scream at it, like in a fight. Of course, I was going to fight it, but I was off. I was just fear.
What kind of hat?
I'm sorry?
What kind of hat was he wearing?
Like a big fedora, huge.
Oh, okay.
Not Freddy Krueger looking big.
Right, okay.
You know, really big, like almost an old French looking guy. But I mean, I couldn't see his facial features, but just a stocky big guy. I did some research the next morning.
Yeah.
And there was a lady I got through the Coast to Coast link that had been doing some studies on that, where hundreds of people, I guess all across the country or maybe even the world, are experiencing this. It's like the Man in the Hat, I think it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
But just to kind of cap it off, and I'll listen to what you guys think about that. somebody I shared a house with the next morning said, "Who are you fighting with last night?"
Really?
I went, what?
Wow.
Yes, they heard me. I mean, I was screaming in this, what I thought was I was awake, but I was screaming as loud as a large male can scream.
That's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. And you said you're from Louisiana?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's where a lot of people say that the night hag started out in. And it's interesting that that the night hag didn't come to you, but this man in the hat did.
Yeah, there's a lot of I come from a family full of all kind of sights and visions and trait bears. It's like, I don't know if you know what a trait bear is, but it's a Cajun treater, and they have a lot of so-called Indian mystical powers like that. So I've heard these stories growing up, but I mean, I've never experienced anything. I just used to be enamored with the stories. And, until you experience this, I mean, I would never call or even tell anybody this. In fact, I didn't want to give my name. But
you were able to move a little bit, you said. You were able to kick your leg?
Yeah, I was able to kick. You know, listening to you guys call it paralysis, you know, I started thinking about the details of that. I was mainly focusing on the details of the thing, not so much of what I did until I started listening to the show. And then I was able to kind of, you know, gather what I did do.
Yeah, it's interesting. In most cases, people can't move at all. And in some European folklore, they say that the way to get it to stop is to wiggle your toe, which sounds obviously pretty easy. Like, you know, wiggle your toe right now. But in that specific instance, it's darn near impossible.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Guys. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ralph. Let's go to wildcard line 5. Daniel in California, you're on the air.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I grew up in a deeply religious Catholic family, and as a child, I heard a lot of stories about demons and, experiences with sleep paralysis. My first experience was, I want to say about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
I was asleep in my bedroom. I felt an object jump on top of me and push me down. The only thing is that I've always had a curiosity for things like this. I've had friends speak to me about this, family members, and I remember waking up and being clear in my mind and knowing what it was. So I began to fight back, and I pushed it off, and I remember feeling the texture of an arm, and I remember having this feeling where I couldn't move, but somehow I was able to move my right arm, and I was able to grab the being's arm, and I fought with it. I don't know how long, but I managed to push it off.
Yeah.
My only experience I've ever had, another story that I heard was from my grandfather, which I was a child when I heard the story, was that he experienced a hairy dog with red eyes on top of him, and he was going through sleep paralysis, and it was. It was his experience, and it was his brother's experience. And
really?
This is a story that comes from, Mexico. I've heard the story
from
a lot of people in Mexico. I don't know if you guys have ever heard anything like that.
I'd have to look through my research, and I think we're getting short on time. But I'm almost positive there's a Mexican sleep monster. There's definitely a Chilean one. And I'm trying to see if there's any other Central American ones I can bring up immediately. But one question I would have for you is, so you say you felt an arm?
I felt an arm. It almost felt like a person was on top of me.
Okay, so it's definitely a person.
Yeah, and the room was actually, it was normally like my room is normally dark. I tint my windows because I work late at night, and so every time I get home, I want the lights dark. But usually I can see like the light of the moon coming into the room. But I remember that night.
Yeah.
For some reason, the room was just completely dark. It almost seemed like the shadow was all over the room.
Oh wow! Oh wow! So it's definitely.
I grew up, you know, hearing a lot of these stories, so it's never really scared me.
Yeah.
I didn't wake up scared or anything. I knew what it was. I've heard stories that it usually happens to people when they're doing bad things, or they have somebody that walks into their house, you know, that's doing bad things, they attract bad spirits.
Right.
And these spirits go into your house and they possess your house, and you know, they usually jump on people, or they'll jump on a person, even though that person may not be doing something bad in their life, or their, you know, their life has gone in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I think that sometimes guilt of some sort plays a part in it, that it makes you more vulnerable to it.
I was looking over my notes, and I wasn't able to find anything from Mexico, but just of note, in Catalonia, the night hag is a can appear as an enormous dog or cat, which is similar to the experience that your father and your uncle had.
Right, and it almost seemed kind of like what you were talking about earlier with that, you know, the mouth of a stuffed animal with teeth and stuff like that, and that's the way he described it, was a large dog, a growling dog with his teeth out and red eyes. And he almost said, the way he described it was like a large German Shepherd, with a black large German Shepherd.
Yeah, police dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be scary for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. East of the Rockies, Steve in Vermont, we just have 2 minutes left together. Did you have a quick story for us?
Oh, yeah, sure. I was in the service, right? I had a question for your guest afterwards. I was in the service in the Army in Germany about 1986, the year 1986, and I was on vacation on a company trip, and it was in Berchtesgaden. I don't know the significance of the location. I'm dwelling on that, but I woke up, I was paralyzed, and when I noticed that, this figure began to materialize from the shadows in the corner of the room.
Yeah.
And to draw itself together from the shadows, say.
Yeah.
And it appeared as an elemental, as far as I can reconnoiter. It looks about 2 feet, 2.5 feet high. And it had a suit of armor and maybe somewhat glowing eyes, white eyes. It walked right up to the edge of my bed and looked right into my eyes. I had no choice but to panic, number one. My heart was racing, and I could only move my eyes and breathe.
Yeah.
I closed my eyes and went back to sleep, and maybe in a couple of seconds I woke back up and things were normal again. And that's that story.
Yeah,
but there's more.
All right, well, if you have a quick question, we're about to wrap up the show.
Well, the question was having to do with location on the planet, say, and what you're going to see there, because I was in West Germany in a place that was a vacation spot, you know.
Yeah.
From, during World War II. Okay.
You know, I don't know how much location is going to matter. I think it's really informed by your culture and what you know and who you are. Like the Hmong, just to bring it back to them, they were from across the globe, and they were in America, and the Da Chao still came for them. It didn't become some American thing that, you know, maybe their culture, gradually they became Americanized, but their nightmares didn't.
Adam Bolger, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I also want to thank my guests from the first 2 hours, Dana Matthews and Greg Newkirk from WeirdHQ.com. Jeff and Tricia back at home office, Tim Dennis, my engineer, my producer Chris Boros, Lisa Lyon, and of course George Norrie for allowing me to come in. I'll be back with you at the end of October when I'll be hosting Coast to Coast AM again on the 23rd and 24th, and then I'll be here for Halloween to spend the evening with you as well, so hopefully you'll join me. Again, you can check out my website at darknessradio.com, where you can check us out 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight. Thank you for allowing me into your homes this evening. Be safe, be loving to one another, and I'll be back again with you soon right here on Coast to Coast AM.